morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in beautiful Coral Springs, Florida. And now, here's today's host for the show. Here's Dougie Almeida and Lenny Travis. Morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. This is Dougie Almeida, and it's It's Thursday today. Our end of the
Thursday
week.
Already.
Yeah, Thursday. No Friday show because I'm out of town. Just can't cut them all in that time frame.
Yeah, you're going to Kentucky, right?
I'll be in Kentucky on Thursday, but I'm as of Wednesday drove up to. We're thinking. I don't know if I was going to fly or, because. The first show is Thursday in Kentucky at Comedy Zone in Kentucky, Bank something in Pikeville, Kentucky. That megatropolis.
What kind of crowd are they expecting in Kentucky?
I have no idea, but I imagine my Ancestry.com joke would go well.
Yeah, say hey, I heard the show was shoes optional.
Huh. So that's a Thursday night, and then Friday and Saturday night at Charleston, West Virginia, at the Comedy Zone. So, but I think on Wednesday night we're going to drive into Charlotte, which is on the way somewhat to Kentucky, and get to meet some of the folks down there in the main room at the Comedy Zone. So looking forward to that. Going to do a little spot on their showcase. So nothing better than meeting everybody right there, and hopefully not sucking on stage. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is if you do bad in Kentucky, no one's ever going to know.
Yeah.
A couple of bootleggers.
Yeah, and it's not like their reputation or their word's going to mean anything.
We're going to cover the comedy show in Shine Magazine.
Shine?
Yeah, making your own liquor.
Oh, I could see where comedy would be important there.
Yeah, we need something to laugh at when we're going blind.
That's amazing. So, I don't know if I told you this. I'm sure you're not going to be happy. But, Thursday night room, I was hired to feature, but they went from a feature headliner to a headliner only room.
Are they still going to let you do a spot? They're going to let you do a spot, but they're not going to pay you?
Right. I might as well there. I'll do a little extended spot and hopefully sell some T-shirts to make up the difference.
Right.
And then...
Whose car are you using?
We're going to take Frankie's SUV.
Ah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because the thing is obviously I have an all-wheel drive, but we might be driving in snow. What I understand is it was like between the 20s and 40s in West Virginia.
Whoa.
Yeah, Frankie's got an SUV, but sometimes you go on a trip with a comic and you're going to be driving through snow and everything, and the guy shows up in like a Mercury, piece of shit or something. I don't know.
You think my ball tires will make it?
Yeah, exactly. What are you, a drag racer? Why do you ask? You got slicks on every tire. Yeah, we're going to drive through the snow in this Kia.
Yeah, he's making the most money. How do you work out? Is the gas on a ride like that? Is he going to pay a little more than you because he's making more?
I don't know if that's... We came up with a factor about $150.
Total, do you mean each?
Yes.
Yeah, you figure that's a lot. It's definitely a lot of gas.
And that's why I looked at it. I pulled up. Tim Hanlon and I were talking, and I was like, I don't know. Maybe I should see if I can find a one-way ticket to West Virginia. Just show up on Friday morning.
Right.
Knock out 2 days of being on the road. But those flights are like $215, $220, $230, just to fly one way.
Right. Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm spending $100 more.
Are you making like a couple of $100 on the whole trip?
Yeah, you make basically a little over $300 something bucks. You get like $125, $130, $100. Basically, you're getting paid $150 a show. So,
right.
So,
$150 goes to gas.
I know. Lenny. As a feature, I'm never expecting to make money.
I guess you could sell T-shirts.
Yeah. If I could sell 10 T-shirts, I'll make a couple $100 in addition. But more importantly, the experience.
Right.
I'm not a veteran comic like you. I haven't got as much stage time. So I have to go as, and you know, here's the thing, as a comic, what's beautiful about that stage time, it's a challenging stage time. This isn't being put up in like an A room somewhere, you know, where people are just laughing because they're supposed to. This is a right. room where you got to earn your laughs. And, you know.
I wonder if you could have printed out a specific to Kentucky t-shirt and West Virginia.
You mean like a merch shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't drive slower to get here. I mean, I'm only heading into Kentucky.
Yeah. And West Virginia is known for being a little backward, is the word?
You could say that. I've heard the joke be told that I went to Kentucky and had to deal with the time difference. You know, it's like 1930 there.
Had to adjust for the time difference in Kentucky. I had to set my clock back to 73.
So, yeah, but hey, like I said, to me, it's all about experience, man. You know what I mean?
You figure you do it and see if you can go back as a headliner.
Well, I'm working towards that. So let that, you know, again, am I going to push the system? Am I going to hurry things through? You know, I'm waiting to get bumped.
It takes a while. You got to work the gigs. You work the gigs.
Yeah, I'm waiting to get, I've been working as a feature now at Bonkers for 3 years. This will be my third full year coming up. You know, as a feature, working regular feature. It's like some people got moved up and, you know, I put myself in those folks' categories. But hey, you know what I mean? I'm ready. When you're ready, I'm ready.
Right.
Nothing worse than pushing something and then going there and not doing well. You know?
Well, yeah, you've been to a Bonkers room where there could be like 25 people. And you could be, it's going to be like a weird crowd.
Yeah. And again, that's why stuff like all this road stuff I've been able to do has helped. Because when you're in front of a room and you're normally, let's say you're in your first 5 minutes and nothing's working, you realize, wait a minute, I've been up here for 5 minutes, but I've been through 10 minutes of material, you know, because nothing's working with these people. You know, now you better dig into something. Did I tell you that when I was at Marco Island, I ended up doing this little silly dance? Did I tell you I did a silly dance?
No.
Yeah, I'm on stage, and I think Perry was there, because Perry went there that Saturday night. And I was feeling a little, you know, had the crowd, they were laughing and everything. And I just started like wiggling and jiggling on stage, going, hey, what's up, how you doing? And like, you know, looking, I don't know, it was like part Jim Carrey, part Mango. You know, Chris Kattan.
Did anyone throw money up on stage?
Yeah, somebody reached into their pocket. It was money or a gun. But, you know, had a little fun with it. A little Robin Williams-esque. You know, right. kind of, it was fun. And they liked it. It was great. So maybe I'll do some more fiddling around on stage.
Yeah, they'll love that in Kentucky. I know that.
Yeah, you think those guys will like it if I get up there and turn around and shake my ass and twerk for them?
Yeah. And then tell them your favorite film was Deliverance.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm really hoping we can reenact my favorite scene from Deliverance.
Hell!
Since
I think I'm going to like this act.
Yeah. I think I look a little bit like, what's his name, Warren Beatty? Was that who it was? Who was the guy who was squealing?
Ned Beatty.
Ned Beatty, yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah that's a big difference.
Hey, Warren Beatty was in Deliverance getting banged in the ass? No, I think you better check your stats, buddy.
Yeah, Ned Beatty.
So
that's good.
Yeah, so maybe I should
hopefully you'll make it back.
Maybe I should watch that movie before I go up there.
It's a lesson.
Yeah.
You could actually say that. Say I watched Deliverance before I came to to this place because, you know, as a frame of reference.
Yeah. I'm going to go to New York next week, so I was watching Goodfellas.
Hey, what's doing in New York?
It's, you know, I'm looking forward to going back. Next time I go back, it's going to be a lot different. And I'm looking forward to it. And, last trip, everything went really well.
You didn't get mugged.
No. I'm a little scary. Your muggers look at me and go, I don't know, it may be hard to flip that guy.
Yeah, let's pass on him.
Yeah, let's let him go by. And, but
what are you doing, like a couple of spots in the city?
When I go, yeah. And I want to coordinate that with you, because when I go, I might go for like a two-week type extensive type stay. So I'll do a week in the city, and I wouldn't mind maybe going into some of those other like govs and those places, and then maybe into even Jersey and hit a couple spots, and then come home.
Yeah, the governor's guy isn't exactly talking to me right now.
Yeah, yeah, because you.
Well, I kind of bailed on his show.
Now we talked about this before the show, right? We were talking about this morning. We didn't, because you and I are. I can't remember what you and I say on the air and off the air. Like, it makes a difference. Somebody said that to me, by the way. They said, "Boy, you're pretty open on that show. You guys speak about everything."
Yeah.
Well. We'll
talk about your wife's vagina. Not you, I'm saying this guy.
Yeah, this other guy's wife's vagina, which is lovely. It's just, it's beautiful. It's sparkling.
Got glitter on it.
Yeah. Do you ever do that? Do you ever look at a woman's vagina and go, "Wow, look at that. It looks so nice."
I know. And then sometimes you just want to wash it with a wire brush.
Yeah, sometimes you look at it, it looks like a grumpy old man that hadn't slept in weeks.
Yeah, it's like, "Hey, what's your problem?
What's up with that sour puss on your face?"
Speaking of sour.
Hey, did I tell you the other day, I'm rambling a little bit here, but I was at the gym, right, because I'm getting in shape. I'm a regular at the gym now. And there's this one guy at the gym, an older guy. He looks like, I don't know, he's just a funny-looking dude, like balding. He's still fat, but he lost a lot of weight, one of these guys. Right. And, first of all, my wife has made comments. She's like, "That guy stink. He smells bad." And I think I caught a whiff of him one time when he walked by. But I was on the treadmill the other day, and this guy came in, the treadmill next to me. And within seconds, the smell of, like, vinegar. You know what I'm saying? That smell that almost has an acidic taste to it. When you start smelling it, it's like, what this guy dip his... You know what I mean? It's just,
why do they have to go right next to you? Were there other ones to choose? Or?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it might have been because I had a G-string on.
I really can't talk about that because I consistently fart on the treadmill. I don't know what it is, but when I'm on that treadmill, I do 30 to 40 minutes.
Right.
I'd say at least 1 to 6 times there is gas leaking.
Yeah.
And it's not loud, it's long.
Well, that's why they're not loud. When they're long, they're, it's like...
Like, it's almost comical. Sometimes I'll go 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, and all by 10 Mississippi, it's still going.
It's got like the hang time of an NFL punt.
Yeah, it's got like a tail. Yeah, it does have the hang time of an NFL punt.
Right, about 8-9 seconds, is that how
it's
long?
It's like you have to wait under it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a weapon. I'm like, listen to this. It's like, and then sometimes it gets more intense, and then it mellows out.
Hmm.
And then at the end, it's always funny. Like,
yeah, it's got a little whippersnap ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that definitely happens.
Yeah. Well,
and I even see people working out on the floor and back of me stretching, and I just want to look at them and go, "Boy, you don't want to do that."
Yeah.
Like, you really want to do that right near my treadmill? There's a million places in this room where you could go.
Yeah.
But some people like putting a mat down, and I'm near one of the walls, and that's a place where people use the mats and stretch out.
Sure.
And it's like, big mistake.
Yeah. You may want to find you may want to go stretch by the dumpster. It might be a little more pleasing.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
They're throwing out seafood in the corner.
That's not nice. See, like this guy, like, here's the thing. And again, the new me, I had no tolerance. I basically took in about a whole 90 seconds of this odor, and it started permeating. You know what I mean? It started surrounding me. Like, okay, when you turned to the left, you smelled it. When you turned to the right, you didn't. But then it got to the point where it didn't matter where you turned, you smelled it.
Right.
So I actually looked, reached down, pressed stop, emergency stop. Stud the thing and walked off and moved to one on the other row.
Did the guy see you do it?
Yeah, I hope he did. I mean, it wasn't like I was James Bondish about it.
You should have just walked past him and hold your nose and go, "Pee you."
Yeah, it wasn't that obvious. But, the point's made. I mean, somebody should tell. Listen, there comes a point, I mean, okay, it's one day. Okay, I put on a shirt that you forgot maybe you left in your bag. You ever do that? Sometimes if you leave a shirt sweaty in a bag overnight or you forget about it.
Once every year.
Right. Every once in a while it happens. And then you wash it. It smells fine. But the minute you sweat in it again, it's like, you know.
It ignites.
It's like every sweat you've ever had since a kid shoots out of that shit. So, nice. I've worn that shirt before. I've been on the treadmill, and then about 5-8 minutes into it, I start breaking out into a little warmth. You're like, oh, wow, is that me? Holy shit. You feel bad. But this is consistent. This guy is every day. And, this guy's funny, too, because this guy will get on the weights. He'll, do a pull-down for your back. You have the bar and you pull it down to your chest, whatever. You would think most people pull it down to their chest. You get a full range of motion. This guy does like inches. He does like an inch and back and forth. And then he'll go from the.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah. He doesn't do full extent. And then he'll get on the bench. He'll just poke at it. You know what I mean? He won't bring it all the way down. He'll go from the lat pull down to the bench to a leg machine. And it's like, Stinky, can you stand one side of the room? You know what I mean? I think this guy is such a pain. I mean, he's so irritating. And then of course I got the one guy, the one black guy that comes in wearing sunglasses with his Puff Daddy glasses.
Yeah, where are you going with those?
Yeah, there comes a point where you're exercising, you're trying to keep them on your head so they don't fall off. Really, I mean, when it gets to that point, don't you think you're like, why am I wearing the glasses? it's just amazing.
No, you're working. You're not at a commute at like your town gym. You're at like one of those gyms like LA Fitness, right?
Exactly, LA Fitness.
So usually those are big enough that you could avoid people.
Well, that you would think that, but when the guy goes from one machine to another, listen, the glass thing, I don't give a shit. I just think it's funny. You know, when you see a guy wearing sunglasses, in the gym, and they're sweating, there's sweat in them. And they're falling off when he's doing certain exercises. Like, really, dude? When I get out of my car, I just put my glasses in my glove box and I come back to them later. And but these guys, they're real. And the thing is, he's real serious. They have a really good workout. Like, it's his wife that works out. She's awesome. It's just all the leg machines, the squat jumps. They're doing real serious shit. Not like me on the treadmill and the elliptic runner. So, but that's the stinky guy. When you watch it, you want to go up to him and go, what are you doing? What are you working out? What is that? I don't understand your range of motion. I don't get it. But that's okay. Do whatever you want to do. Who am I to tell you how to work out? But then he stands next to you, and you feel like you're like somebody's making Easter eggs. So I mean, listen. Just if you go to the gym, don't smell. Okay.
Yeah. Don't wear sunglasses unless you're humming, I wear my sunglasses at night.
Yeah. There's another woman there. There's this lady. She's got the face of a caveman and the hair of a caveman.
Nice.
But she's got like these big fake boobs, and she's got like a ripped up stomach and this big bubbly ass. But she's probably in her late 40s, early 50s. So God bless her for being in shape. But it's so funny. Because every workout outfit she has to expose her midriff. It's like...
Yeah, there's one like that at my gym. Right. Every work, no matter what she wears, she's got the whole bare stomach hanging out. And she's got stomach muscles.
Yeah, of course.
But she kind of looks a little like Kim Novak at the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, what a train wreck that was.
Now, where was she from? Kim Novak...
Was she in, I'm trying to remember what movie she was in.
Like an old famous movie.
When I looked at that, when I saw her, not only did I not know who it was, but I got so scared.
Yeah, she looked like
I said, is that a demon from the series Supernatural?
Exactly. She looked like one of those demon folks from like the Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino. And you ever see that movie, Devil's Advocate, with...
Yeah.
The guy from Matrix.
The deal.
Yeah. She had that.
I thought her face was from the Disney movie Frozen.
Yeah. I mean.
My wife goes, is her face like not moving as she talks?
And then she couldn't remember her lines. I mean, she was completely, right? Whoever, who was with her? I'm trying to remember the actor that was with her. Was it Pitt? I think it was Brad Pitt, wasn't it?
I'm trying to think of who it was.
And he says,
and I won. I saw it. No, I think it was Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, you're right. It was Matthew McConaughey. Who, by the way, also his face doesn't. I think all that weight loss affected his facial structure.
Yeah, I just want to thank God before I thank anybody for not really giving me AIDS.
Because that would suck.
That would really suck, y'all.
That's right. Stop having sex in the ass without a condom.
Did you see that movie?
No, I didn't see the Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, it was so boring. I was rooting for the AIDS.
Yeah.
I mean,
how bad is it when I really want to see The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, which, you know what? I really want to see that picture.
I also would really like to see, I don't really care for 12 Years a Slave.
You know, I kept thinking that 12 Years a Slave, that one, was that Best Picture? I think it won Best Picture.
Yeah, did it?
You know what? 12 Years a Slave doesn't sound that bad. You know, if you were born a slave and your whole family was slaves and you were a slave your whole life, you know, that's a hell of a story. But if you were a slave like 12 years, it's like, well, you know, you got through it, right? You're a better man now, right? It was only 12 years. Wasn't like, is that racist?
It's very inconsiderate, you know.
Yeah, it's but I'm Jewish. My people the Jews were slaves for like 1,000 years. What's 12 years a slave? I'd be happy if I was Jewish to be, you know, only 12 years? I could do that standing on my yarmulke. The funniest joke I heard about the Academy Awards was, you know, the fat girl from Precious. She was in American Horror Story. Did you see when she came out and did a little speech?
Yeah, and I had mentioned that I think she was upset because she missed the pizza Ellen DeGeneres brought.
Yeah. I just want to say, I didn't get any.
Where's my slice?
Is that the most unhealthy human being there is on this planet?
Yeah, we did mention that. She
talked about it already?
I mean, her face is so fat that, like...
How fat is it?
You know, her face has got rolls.
Oh, my God. So someone tweeted, did you see the fat girl, the fat black girl? She's in the movie 12 Years a Slob. That had me laughing all day Monday.
12 years of ice cream.
12 years of buffets. I mean, please, there's got to be. You're a young girl. You know, why don't you lose 100 pounds and just be a fat slob? She's like morbidly obese.
Wow. No, I'm telling you, and then she had this dress on.
Yeah, that dress was almost like I almost saw the dress wave a white flag.
You know, and when you're that big, I don't think that any belt line would be able to hide how wide it is. You know, when these big women, they put like these belt lines on them to show there might be a waistline there. But it almost looks like the globe with the equator being, you know, circled. She had like the dress she had on had like a little purple rose in the front and like what looked like a belt line, but... You know,
the belt line, it actually grew. Like, usually you wear a belt because that's the thinnest part of you. And hers was like, she looked like an expanding planet or a star.
Yeah, it actually was going supernova.
Yeah, here's some funny jokes they said about Kim Novak. Her face won for Frozen.
Yeah.
Also, she was transported back to the Hollywood Wax Museum at the end of the year. Quick, Kim Novak's due at the Hollywood Wax Museum.
Get her back before she melts.
When Kim Novak was talking about Frozen, I thought she was talking about her face.
You remember, I don't know if you remember Deep Space Nine, which was a Star Trek type episode show they had for a while. And there was a guy on there who was like a shapeshifter. And he had this weird-looking face, you know, like kind of moldy-looking.
Yeah.
And some people posted his face on Facebook that that was her last role. The shapeshifter. And, of course, you know, we talked about it, but John Travolta screwing up that woman's intro. I mean, I mean, that had to be one of the funniest moments.
You know, I missed that, but it what with the for that song from Frozen,
right?
The lady, you know, this movie made $1 billion.
Yeah,
it's a cartoon. I remember seeing when it came out, it made like 100 something the first week, and then 100 the next week, and I was like, "What is? I guess it's for kids, right?"
Right. Yeah,
it just passed the $1 billion mark this past weekend.
Now you know why Disney are there Disney in it. Now you know why Disney stock is at 80-something dollars.
I know. I said, boy, is this company, imagine putting out a film that makes $1 billion, and it's a cartoon. I mean, the actor's got bupkis.
Let me see if I can get this in, but this was him. Yeah, I'll get it up in a second. That's what I told her last night. See what I did?
Yeah. It's funny. When I saw Travolta, I was like, why is he there?
By the way, didn't his hair look magnificent? I tweeted early before he messed up that I said, boy, how much did he spend on that wig?
Oh, yeah, that would look like an expensive one.
Right? I mean, he actually had, he looked like a young man's hair. He even had like a spire, he had like a Superman, a little squiggly in there.
Yeah. I wonder if he got a massage before the awards.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a massage, honey. Don't worry. I'm just going to go get one, all right?
Yeah.
Try not to get caught blowing a guy. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely. Oh, you're trying to. Oh, ooh.
Hey.
I think I better just stay home. I mean, what was this? I mean, this is an article. There's a picture of Jennifer Lawrence in a party she went to after. And the dress was see-through on both on the sides. So you couldn't wear underwear because you would see it. So it says Jennifer Gardner doesn't wear underwear at after party. That makes the news.
Wow.
And me, like an idiot, I click on it right away. I was like, Russians mass murdering their own, or Jennifer Gardner is in a mini dress, half nude, and you would think I would have went to the important story. Well, for me, I did.
Yeah, it was important to you, of course.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it, and it's just like a kind of see-through along the sides. I think I will be able to whack one off to this.
You put your own little idea there, put some pictures in your mind.
Yeah, it's in usmagazine.com if you want to take a
look. Let me ask you a question. Why would you waste your time, you know, utilizing that image when you could just go online and get, you know, porn?
I know. You know what? Every little bit helps.
Yeah, I mean, really, you want to look at, you know, photos where you almost see something? I mean, really? You're going to actually, you know, waste
it's
those.
It's funny. I noticed that when I'm in the sack with the wife and we're going at it. It's like a whole montage runs through my head. And then when something really stands out, all of a sudden it's like, oh, and then boing, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, well, I'm getting really good.
Well, that's interesting. Hey, have you been following this thing? We talk about Russia. You've been following the, you know, the market jumped like crazy again on Tuesday after a fall on Monday.
Just absurd. What do you think? That this is over? It's over. Let's go up 400 points.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and here's the thing. You know what I love? I enjoy the fact that Secretary of State John Kerry goes over there, and because I was watching one of the, one of the reports, and John Kerry was talking to the press, and somebody said, "Well, you know, actually Vladimir Putin claims that there is no military on the ground down there, and whatever, everything is like," and John Kerry's like, "He said what?" Well, you know, if you feel like we're sending Herman Munster into, as you know what I mean, he's gonna, you know, don't bring that Herman Munster guy here again to our country.
I mean, that's where the Russian Navy is, so you had to know they were gonna like just go down there and check things out,
right? I mean, everybody keeps condemning all this action, but no shots were fired, right? Isn't it just, you know,
not a thing?
No, and they're just there, you know, and you know, hey, you never know. I mean, listen. When your country can just turn on you in a dime, and Putin is very aware that that could possibly happen, you know, you got to give kudos to a guy who knows how to try to keep control of things. Because maybe it's better in the fact,
you know,
that there's
democracy in the next country. His country's going to, he'll see that the people in his country will go, oh, maybe we don't need Putin. So it's like the last thing he wants.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? They're supposedly going to have elections now in the Ukraine in November. Is that where they're set for? May or November?
I think May.
Yeah, May.
He wanted to put the old president back and do it in December.
Yeah, that guy. Boy, does that guy look like a old Russian Special Forces general guy, the guy
who the current guy who got ousted,
the president of Ukraine. Yeah. That guy just looks like somebody that, you know, you don't want to see come around the corner if you owe somebody money.
Yeah, it looks like he's been mining tunnels with his face.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy you look like if you punch him in the face or kick him in the face. He looks at you and goes, "You kick like pussy." You know?
Yeah, that guy has any chance. Putin thinks that this guy's going to go back. He's out of his mind. The guy's wanted on mass murder charges.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It would be like putting Charles Manson in charge of California. Which wouldn't be the craziest idea.
Yeah, well, it's not like, you know, could be much worse.
Yeah, Jerry Brown. I love a mayor who's a governor who's named after what my underwear looks like. Is that your name or the color of your underwear?
Well, yeah, any rate.
Did you watch the awards? That other thing with the selfie. That's what everyone was talking
about.
Yeah,
now here's the thing. I've mentioned this. There's a bit of a division. You know, people are ragging on poor Ellen DeGeneres. Some are praising what she did. And, Tim and I talked about it. I think she did a decent, she did a good job for what I would imagine would be one of the hardest show hosting gigs there is.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough job. I mean, you're hosting a 3.5-hour show.
Yeah, I mean, and keeping it going. I mean, how much material could you actually do? You know, some people's like, "Oh, that's a funny bit. You buy pizza for everybody." Well, yeah. You know what? It was actually kind of interesting to watch Brad Pitt get up, start handing out paper plates. It was interesting to watch the reaction of some people not want to admit they wanted pizza when they really did.
I saw Brad Pitt hand like a paper plate to Julia Roberts, and didn't they almost get married?
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I thought, I go, "Boy, that's kind of awkward."
She looks. Yeah, she looks at Brad and goes, "Oh, now you want me to take something from you?"
Yeah.
Now you're giving me something? A paper plate? Yeah.
And a lot of these guys there with their moms?
Yeah.
Is that a way to get laid?
That's, you know, that seems to be the cool thing
to
do.
Not to your mom, but maybe it looks cool to, like, you know, if you're going to hit on Jennifer Garner, you know, there's Leonardo DiCaprio sitting with his mom.
Yeah.
Obviously. He spent more time with his mom at the Academy Awards than I did in the last 6 months.
Yeah. There's a lot of moms calling their kids right now going, "Did you see Leonardo?"
Yes.
And you can't even come by on a Sunday, right, and hang out?
Yeah. "When Martin Scorsese puts me in a film, I'll come hang out with you."
Yeah.
You old bat.
Yeah, that'll make it a lot more tolerant, would it? You know what I mean? If I'm doing movies with Martin Scorsese, I think I would hang out with somebody else's grandma. You know? I mean, come on. But yeah, I mean, you know, the movie thing. Listen, I don't know those movies. I said, again, aside from Wolf of Wall Street, that's all I want. That's all I really want to see.
One picture that I'd really want to go see.
Right? I mean, even now, when I think about it, what's out? Other movies that are out. Half the time, I'm like, you know, I don't really have any interest to go watch most of these movies. Obviously, Avengers when it comes out, I want to watch any. You know, some of those movies I want to see. The Hobbit series I like.
Well, there's a Liam Neeson film, Nonstop. It's like Taken on a plane.
Yeah, again, since I'm flying a lot, I don't want to see anything where a plane goes down.
I don't need to see a film where there's a hole in the plane and Liam Neeson is reaching for a gun that's floating in the air.
Yeah. You know, you ever watch those horror films, those films, those, you know, again, these high-intensity films, and somebody's holding on for life on a ledge, or they're about to fly out of an airplane and they're holding on to, like, the seat, and it's like, you know, you take the average person in the gym and you put them on a pull-up bar and ask them how long they'll fucking hang on a pull-up bar. I bet you can't get to 15 seconds for most people.
I know. Are you kidding?
You know, I mean,
even the guys that can work out.
Yeah, can you
imagine? How long do you think you could hang out on a pull-up bar?
I imagine. We had this really, you know, there was every school has that big chubby girl, right?
Sure.
So we had a girl.
We had one with flaming red hair.
Wow.
A disgusting thing she
was. Well, this poor girl who was our big heavy girl in our elementary school, she had a strike too when I think it was in first or second grade. She pissed herself.
Nice.
And left a puddle in that, you know, those colored orange chairs and the blue chairs you sit when you're in a kid, those little desks.
Yeah.
But she actually sat in the teacher's desk. She was so big. But she pissed. And then so she had to wear those like pants that school gives you, those pull-up pants, you know, in case your parents aren't home. So she was a big girl, you know, very big girl. And, you know, I forgot what I was going to say.
Something about how disgusting fat women are. Precious.
Yeah. No, I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, there's always a, there was always that big woman that was in your school or that. And, well, whether or not you had sex with her, you guys should keep that to yourself. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And I'm here with Lenny.
Sure.
And we got a bunch coming up. Don't forget, we'd stick around for Unusual News with Jeffrey Gurian. And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, asking you to tune in Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the WEI Network. Join me, Lenny Travis, Tim Hanlon, Peter Leonard, Toast, and Minda, along with special segments. You Know What I'm Saying with Bob Levy, Let's Be Frank with Frank Del Pizzo, and Unusual News with Jeffrey Gurian. That's right, plenty of laughs, plenty of entertainment right here on this little show. The Wake Up Late with Dougie show, Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on the WEI Network.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
This is Wake Up Late with Dougie Show sports segment with Toast.
What's up, brother?
Hey, man. How you been, bro?
I'm doing very well. Yourself?
Well, you know, I'm keeping busy. You know, I had a co-host recently, leave our services in a sense. So.
Oh, really? Just kind of left you high and dry, did he?
Yeah, really left me high and dry. You know, I think I got on his nerves with bugging him about doing comedy. I think he said, you know, I don't want to have to answer that anymore.
Well, God, he just must be a giant pussy.
Yeah, big old sweaty pussy that doesn't want to get on stage.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's right.
Bald and overweight too.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't know, dude. I got to tell you, I've been since it's a sports segment, I'm getting sporting. I'm beginning to the gym. I get up now at 8. You know, get to the gym.
Wow, 8.
So, yeah.
8 o'clock in the morning. That's impressive.
It is, and I get up and I go to the gym. I do like cardio and I do some weightlifting and then I run back here to do the show.
All right, so like you wake up at 8, so you mosey into the gym around what, like 9:30?
No, I get up and I'm done. I mean, I'm split second, boom. You know, I'm in the gym 8:30, 9:30. Well, wow. Maybe wait a minute, I'm overwhelming myself. I actually get up at 7. Sorry, I'm at the gym by 8.
7.
Yeah,
oh, you're at the gym by 8. Okay.
Yeah. What am I thinking? All right. And that's more impressive, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, saying that you know you're waking up at 8 now is not something you want to be bragging about to the general public.
I was wondering why a lot of people weren't looking at me like I was doing something like an achievable event. They're looking at me like, really?
Yeah, 8 a.m. not that impressive during the week, my friend.
You know,
unless you are bouncing at a bar until 4.
Right. Well,
and then I'll give you credit.
Yeah. Then,
you're
then,
not.
Yeah. But well, you know, sometimes with the comedy, I'm out late. But you know, I mean, it's not you know you get up late when your dogs are like barking in the morning, like get up already,
exactly.
We got to take a shit.
That is a good. Yeah, it's a good barometer. If it's finally time, down to the point that the dogs are saying, okay, dude, hey, lazy bastard, I need to go outside and pee, or I'm going to do it right here on your carpet. That's a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's it. But I feel good. I'm getting in shape. I don't know. Have you worked out lately, Toast? Have you actually got?
I have not, and I need to. I have not, and I need to. It's been a discussion going on with my wife. So, no, I am, much like you, I have a wife that, just she eats like crazy. She couldn't gain a pound if she tried. And she's just permanently got this, you know, like 110 or whatever, 115. And just, you know, and it's just ridiculous. So I need to, yeah. She's been getting on me, bro.
Has she? Has she actually been saying, look, shape up? Or
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, we're at that age now. It used to be, you know, used to be fun, but then you get to a certain age and the extra weight begins to, you know, you start to worry that it could become a you know, a health issue down the line. Yeah. So, you know, there comes a point when you just got to finally bite the bullet and stop drinking Coke and
well,
maybe do a little cardio.
I got to tell you, I'm not a soda drinker. The only time I drink soda is when I stop at Wendy's and I get a Go-Wrap for lunch. And, mm-hmm. I usually don't do that either. But if I'm really like on a long road trip and just, you know, a damn soda. I'm not going to drink water from Wendy's. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So that's, but I don't, I'm not a soda drinker, but I could tell you that.
Yeah. The only Coke that I really drink, now is when I have it with rum, which is kind of rare. And I had been kind of doing well with the Crystal Light, the various Crystal Light products that they have.
It's been pretty big.
For some bizarre reason, dude, over the last month, I've had this bizarre, crazy, just itch whenever I'm like by like a gas station to get a grape or an orange Fanta.
How old are you, dude? Grape or an orange Fanta?
What? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's like a midlife crisis thing, and finally remembering my youth. You know, I don't know. But, you know, back then I would have been all about Welch's, you know, Fanta.
Well, that, you know, I'm just saying at that point you might as well go in and ask for a mixed Slurpee.
Right. Yeah, I haven't gone that far yet, but I was actually in a place yesterday that had, and I was in there for like an hour for a client, and they had a Slurpee machine going, and I was just kind of mesmerized by the blue Slurpee. I came very, very close to picking up the bright blue Slurpee.
Yeah, it would be hard in a business meeting. You know, people are coming out with a coffee, you know, a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. You come walking out with like a red and blue Slurpee.
Well, yeah, and then you got to go like pitch another client, and then you got the blue lips and blue tongue thing going on. And that just freaks them out.
Yeah.
Freaks them out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either going to instantly endear you to them, or they're just going to be like, get the hell out of my shop.
Yeah. Are you all right? What do you mean? Well, your tongue looks like you just give head to a Smurf.
Yeah. You know, Smurfette. I bet she's pretty good.
I bet she tastes nice.
Oh, I bet she tastes phenomenal, like blueberries.
Yeah. Snozzberries. All right, let's.
I don't know what a snozzberry is.
Either do I. Listen,
let's
listen.
Let's talk some sports.
Yeah, let's talk sports. Listen, first of all, I think the sports of the week was LeBron scoring 62 points at home against
61.
Or was it 61? Well,
61. 60, yeah.
60. See, that's why you're the sports guy. 61 points on a game that I had tickets for. Didn't realize I didn't sell them, and they went away. Somebody could have been at that game. A game which will live in infamy. No, it was a big game.
Yeah,
to see.
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing with these tickets, man. Like, you have the season tickets, and you never go.
I can't go. You know,
can go occasionally, man. I mean, by selling them all, I'm sure you've made your money back plus some. You can't pick like five or six games to go to.
Well, I had done that. Like, I was planning to go to the Knicks game, but my wife came home, like, you know, couldn't make it. Her client was late. So we couldn't make it to the Knicks game. Thank God I got to sell him last minute on StubHub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, it's
like, yeah, 61. That was that'd be a nice game to have gone to because that's his career high and it's a Heat franchise high. If he broke, Steve Smith, I think it was, or Glenn Rice.
Glenn Rice, yeah.
I think he had like 59 or 55 or something back in the day. So back when the Heat were just awful. But yeah, no, man, 61, absolutely. It was just, here's my question. Do you prefer the black mask or the clear one?
I like the black one. It was great.
So do I. The black one was awesome. He was like Bane from Batman.
Yeah. And what's the NBA's problem with that? It was too intimidating? I mean, I don't understand.
No, apparently they from what I understand, they had some deal where, well, first of all, that mask, it's not technically against the rules, but they asked him to wear a clear one because something about they felt he'd be able to hide his facial expressions behind the black mask. So he could, you know, grimace at a ref or something, and no one would be able to tell, I guess. I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just a stupid, just, you know, really, you can't see his facial expressions.
Yeah, well,
give me a break.
I was thinking about that because I thought that I'd heard something like that. But, you know, it's like these football players that wear their, not only do they wear their face guard, but they wear the visor in it. yes. You know, where you can't.
That's a cool look, though. I like that look.
It is a good look. I mean, it's got to be a.
I've always felt that's a very intimidating look for a running back to have.
Yeah.
You know.
Now it's
good
now
look
it's,
for a running back.
Now it is a bit limiting as well, because I could tell you, like in my relation, like when you spar and like kickboxing and stuff, you mm-hmm. wear headgear, and most fighters would tell you hate wearing headgear because it kind of affects your peripheral vision. You know, sometimes a kick will come from the side. You didn't see it because you're freaking headgear, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, the fact that...
So the headgear gives you a built-in excuse. Like if someone nails you with a kick, you're like, oh, well, it was the headgear's fault. I didn't see it.
Well, you can't blame it all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're a slow bastard.
Well,
but
sounds like... Yeah,
but, you know, but like in football, I was wondering if the visors, they get foggy, you know, if it's an inclement weather situation.
Well, but isn't it the same with a scuba mask? If you just spit in it a few times, then it won't fog up? Isn't it the same concept?
Yeah, and it smells like horse shit for a while.
And that's not, but the mask on the helmet's not airtight like a scuba thing, so I don't think it fogs up. Maybe if you're like outside and it's really cold, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think it fogs up. I think technology has solved that issue.
But that's ridiculous that they actually said that. He could be making facial expressions like he's going to be sitting.
Yeah, just really, how paranoid are you?
What is he, Jim Carrey, or is he LeBron James?
Yeah, I don't. You know, well, it's just ridiculous. But and the worst part was there was one dunk that he had in that first game with the black mask.
Yeah,
and he dunked, came down, was staring right at the camera, and they went to that camera angle, and it was freaking intense and awesome. It was like, holy cow, this is a bad, bad man, a bad, bad man.
Yeah, let's face it. They were scared because he was black and he was mean, and they said, we can't have him, he can't be that mean.
Yeah, they're afraid he's going to scare kids.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And not to mention the Knicks, the Chicago Bulls. Now, let's face it, the only real contender we have on the East here is the Pacers.
It's the Pacers. We're two games back of them for first, but we have two games in hand. So we got two games. We played two less games than that at this point.
And we're on fire now. So, I think we're coming together well after the break.
Well, and that's the thing, man. Absolutely. And that's the thing that people don't, you know, just the people that get on them. I mean, you know, you've been to the finals 3 years in a row. So basically every single year for the last 3 years, these guys have played an extra 25 games.
Sure.
So instead of playing, you know, the 82, they're now playing, you know, close to 110 games over the last three seasons. There's also, once you've won two titles in a row, there's a different sort of motivation that kicks in. The things that got you, those goals you set in those pinnacles that you wanted to climb, like winning the conference championship, winning your first title, those are all gone now. You've done it. So you have to come up with new stuff. And the reality is, you ain't going to come up with enough new stuff to get you through just the monotony of December, January, and February basketball, because it's like baseball in the middle of August,
right?
Or the middle of July. It's like, I mean, if you're, you know, do you, you know, God, you're over it. And so, you know, with this team, you knew that once the All-Star break hit, they were going to turn it on. They actually turned it on about a week and a half before the All-Star break hit. And, and now they're playing like they did last year when they reeled off 27 in a row. Not that they're going to do that, but, you know, they're certainly, you know, the Pacers have come back a little bit. And the Heat are the best team in the NBA.
No doubt.
Someone's going to have to knock them off.
Now, here's
until
the thing.
Until someone knocks them off, I don't believe in anyone else.
Now, here's the thing I definitely agree with. I don't remember which game I was watching, but I think it couldn't be Van Gundy, that loser. And listen, that guy hates the Heat. And you know what I mean? I'm just tired of seeing that he looks like the
you
eagle.
Like
I listen. Who's the one who coached the Knicks?
Yeah, it's Jeff
Van Gundy. All right, listen, he's terrible because every time the Heat plays, he's always like, oh, I can't believe that. You know, he's just a whining wuss. You know, he looks like the bald eagle on the Muppets. You know what I mean? This guy, and I'm so sick of you know. I mean, yeah, the other Van Gundy, yeah, whatever. I still remember him.
Stan
Van. I remember Stan Van Gundy when Jesus, Superman, what's his name? He used to play over there. He went to Houston.
Dwight Howard.
When Dwight Howard, remember they had a big confrontation and Dwight Howard like hugged him, like put his arms around him, and Van Gundy's sitting there going, get your fucking, you could tell his face was like, get your fucking hands off me.
Well, yeah, because Dwight Howard walked in, Sam Van Gundy had just ripped him, and Dwight didn't know that and came in all lovey-dovey, put his arms around him, and just was
awkward.
This dude just shredded you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but this other guy, Jeff Van Gundy, okay, what a schmuck. So, you know, listen, I don't remember who said it, but I think what pissed off LeBron is that he realized the year that Kevin Durant is having, and he said, you know what, this ain't gonna happen. I gotta turn it up, and he's turned it up. And
absolutely, and he actually turned it up in that game when they were at OKC a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
when he had like 14 points before Durant had even taken a shot.
Yeah, that was huge, huge game.
Yeah. No, we should play this game every single week where I just finish your thoughts for you.
Oh man, yeah, I remember that. Remember what that was like. But listen, that's my team. By the way, I did renew my season tickets.
You did, nice. Okay,
yeah. And you know, I was.
That'll be good. You'll have season tickets next year when all three opt out and they're all playing in, you know, somewhere else, and you're watching, you know, Mario Chalmers and Greg Oden.
Oh, you know, I was just about getting in a good mood. You know, listen, there's no chance
that won't happen.
There's
worst case scenario, Dwayne Wade will still be here.
No, listen, there's no chance in hell that next year LeBron's leaving. Okay.
Well, certainly not if they win the title. There's no way he's going to leave being the three-time defending champion. That's just not going to happen because if he does that, he'll be able to. Pat Riley's just going to walk up to him and be like, so, you know, I mean, listen, here's the thing with LeBron. You know, he talks about the Mount Rushmore and all that. Obviously, LeBron wants to be in the conversation with everybody that he is the greatest of all time. Well, to do that, you need to be able to do things that Michael Jordan never did. And Michael Jordan pretty much did everything. The one thing he never did was win four straight titles.
Damn.
And that's all Rod is going to have to say to LeBron. Like, you'll be able to win a four straight title and do something that Michael never did.
And that's
huge.
And the Miami Heat organization, like, look at Mourning. You know, these guys, this guy will end up being, you know, the general manager of the Heat. If he stuck around here.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, listen, LeBron had to deal with that douchebag, Dan Gilbert, the owner in Cleveland. So he knows what a good ownership group is and what a bad one is.
Right.
And he knows in the NBA, a good one like the Heat are far and few between. You know, the Mavericks got a good organization. The Clippers might have one now that Doc Rivers is there. The Celtics have a good organization. The Bulls do. But there's, you know, San Antonio, obviously. But, I mean, that's you certainly – he doesn't want to take a step backwards. That's for damn sure. So, you know, now if they lose this year and don't win it, then I think it's actually on the table, and we'll have to see what happens.
Really?
I think there's certainly a better chance of him leaving if they don't win the title this year. I think if they're the three-time defending champs after this year, there's a 0% chance he leaves. Because why would you stop a streak like that? I mean, you want to be a dynasty? I mean, how rare it is. Why would you walk away from that when you're in the middle of it?
Yeah.
That would just make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But if they lose, and with Dwayne being, you know, hobbled with his knees and getting older, I could see him maybe making a play to, you know, team up with another couple guys, you know, like Chris Paul or something for the next, you know, 5 or 6 years and go somewhere else and try it again. I can, listen, he left his hometown.
I would
there's nothing to, you know, he's not going to love Miami more than Cleveland. When
listen,
it comes to
what
that,
I sort what of I could see happening is Dwayne Wade getting traded.
No, never happened. Never happened.
Yeah, well,
never. Pat Riley will never do that. Dwayne Wade is the reason why these three guys are together. He's the one that sold it to LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. But like you said, his knees.
And,
I mean,
this
guy's not going to stick
around. He's not calling.
Yeah. Well,
no way. They do. The Arisons do not ever want to have Dwayne Wade have another team's jersey out. He will. They want him to be a Heat lifer, and they want him to retire his jersey, and then he'll work in the organization. And, you know, much like Alonzo, much like they'll probably do for Udonis Haslem. Now, that's a trickier one because UD can't pay a lot of money, doesn't play a whole lot. I could see he'd be the first one, and that would be a big loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's part of the whole family concept that they preach.
Yeah. But it's kind of embarrassing watching Haslem get on the court now.
All right. So let me ask you this. Let's get off the basketball thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about the NFL wanting to ban the N-word? on the field of play.
I think it's taken a little too far. Not that. Hey, you know what I mean? To control what somebody says on the field. You know what I mean? Now, on a bigger perspective, you know, I think most of the people using the N-word are black people. I don't, mm-hmm. you know,
people
I don't.
Use a term of endearment.
Yeah, I think all you do, you know what I mean? And if that's the case, good, because, like, you know, these people say, how come that word is so, because the reason why spick is not that big of a word, because Spanish people don't call each other spick. You know, kike is not a big word, because Jewish people don't call each other kikes. You know, it's just one of those, that to me is the difference between the racist words that are out there. You know, it's not like white people go, hey, what's up, cracker? I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's just nothing there. Like, so the only time those words are said are in true racist statements. You know, the only time you hear the word kike is usually when it's really being used in a racist context. You know,
right.
But you can hear the N-word numerous times in a day, and it's not really being used in the racist sense. You know, it's being
used. Here's my thing, is that I think that overall it is like the dumbest friggin' thing I've ever heard. I think it's just a stupid rule. I don't think they thought it through. I think it's hypocritical. I think there's actually no chance of that. I think the Fritz Pollard Alliance, the organization that was behind this, obviously they only care about that word because that's their demographic, their constituents. But so you know, if you're going to do something like this, first of all, you outlaw all words. So you can't say the N-word. Here you have Michael Sam. He's going to be the first openly gay player to play in the NFL. And what if someone calls him a fag?
Right.
And that's fine. You have one of your franchise, one of your marquee franchises, whose nickname is akin to the N-word in regards to Native Americans and Redskins. And you're, you know, using that all over the place and promoting that. So the level of, I mean, I think the NFL thought this was going to be just an easy, positive, quick, beautiful PR move. And I find it awesome that it is blowing up in their face.
Yeah. And
because you can't just, listen, man, 70-year-old white guys can't be legislating racism. They can't be legislating the what language black athletes can use. You cannot do it. It can't happen.
Listen,
and the fact that they thought they could get away with that is just fucking awesome.
You have outstretched the boundaries of control. You cannot tell somebody what. Again, doesn't it kind of infringe on freedom of speech?
Well, here's the thing. No, listen, I have no problem with them outlawing it, but you have to outlaw every slur. You have to outlaw every gay slur, every racist slur. You can't just outlaw just one of them and leave the other 50. You have to get rid of all of them. Either you get rid of all of them or you don't even talk about this. And then when you factor in the fact that, listen, you know, it's, you know, whether you agree with the N-word or not, a certain generation and culture in this country have taken that word, which was negative, and they have turned it into a positive word that they use amongst themselves. And that's, you know, black youth, and it's a term of endearment. And you can't legislate and tell them that they can't say that word, especially when the people telling them that have the palest of skin.
All right.
It's just unbelievable. That they would even and this is a $9 billion corporation.
Listen,
you would think someone would have been like, you know, hey guys, yeah, probably not a, you know, I know your heart might be in the right place, but this is just stupid. You're going to get skewered.
If you want it to really work, make sure the hip hop community does it. You know, make sure the community does it. Once get those guys to drop that word, you know, find them for using it, and I think you make a dent. Now I think I'll make a dent.
Well, then how about what about just enforcing it? These guys are wearing crazy face masks. You can't see their lips. So you could have two black guys and a white guy, like all around each other, and the ref hears somebody say the word. Doesn't know who said it. And now what if he all of a sudden now says the white player said it? Well, now that dude, he might not have said it, and he's now branded as a racist for the rest of his career.
And it's bad enough. It's bad enough we get when we're watching. It's bad enough.
No idea if he actually said it.
It's bad enough when we're watching football games. We got to worry about all the TV timeouts, all the wait.
Right.
Yeah. Let's. Next thing you know, they're not going to have something on, like the referee isn't going to go to like a camera. He's going to go to a listening boom device. You know, right. Oh, the referee's right. Trying to figure out who dropped the N-bomb in that last play, Bill.
Well, they're going to mic every player and, you know, line up the footage with NFL films and find out who the hell dropped the N-bomb. And then, I mean, and what's the announcement going to be? What is the end? What is the ref going to say when he turns on his microphone? Personal foul number 62. Said the N word or said the F word or you know, I mean, like seriously, like well, how do you describe that?
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be. What's the symbol going
to
be?
Or
you know,
is it just something generic and they just say 68 said a racial slur.
Yeah,
and it's up to us to just guess.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, if the guy drops the F bomb, you know, the guy does the, you know, mm-hmm. shows his hips, pelvic, you know, like. Puts his finger through his hand, you know. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they just didn't. They didn't think it through.
Yeah.
I mean, I think their heart was in the right place, but it's like, dude, you just. I mean, yeah. Come on.
I think there's only one group of people that can eventually get rid of that word, and that's black people.
Yeah. Absolutely. No. Absolutely. They have taken that word on, and it's up to them. You know, as long as that community's use it, the word's gonna exist. And you just gotta friggin' bite your lip and move on.
Like I said, I don't know many white guys that are going to use it, you know.
No.
Now, they may,
not ones that don't want to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, especially in front of black people.
No.
You know.
Yeah, no,
but
unless you're Richie Incognito.
Yeah. So that's that's definitely interesting with the sports news. You know, I was watching, I don't know if you're going to follow a PGA, but I actually watched Tiger Woods stink up the course this past weekend.
Well, now, let me ask you this. What's your... What do you think was the biggest story from that tournament? Tiger Woods leaving in the fourth round with a back issue, Rory choking away a four-shot lead with six holes to play, or Phil Mickelson not even making the cut?
You know, well, Phil's got that he's got something, right? Doesn't he? He's got some sort of affliction of some severe arthritis or something that comes up. So I don't know. I mean, I don't hold him to anything. I think
he's on those commercials for it. Apparently the medicine works great.
Yeah, well, let's see. I don't know if he's had Boniva. Does him and Sally Fields have a bone? I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure which one. I know it's pimping something for arthritis.
Yeah, it's very, and I imagine that can be painful. You know, Tiger Woods, to watch this guy to me, he's in such great shape to have a bad back. What the fuck is wrong with his back?
But that's a golf thing, man. You've done that. You know, you do that golf swing, you know, 2 million times.
Listen, if someone's going to have
a common
yeah,
injury for golf.
Listen, all right, okay, yeah. John Daly should have a bad back. That fat bastard. Okay, some of these guys that are out of shape, I can understand they got a bad back. I know. I swing a golf club. I can't walk for a week. You know. And that's going to happen.
Then you're swinging it wrong.
Listen, I'm at least swinging. My point is, okay, with this golf, that this guy is in too good a shape to be in pain. You know what I mean? I don't care.
No, dude, he's like 40 years old now, dude.
Oh, you know? My
he's
God,
been,
he's 40
he's
years
to
old.
Break down.
I don't know. Listen, his game. I remember when he first got married to the obviously back when his first wife. And that's when the trouble. You notice he was a great golfer. Once he got married to her, shit just fell apart. You know what I mean? And we all know why now, because he was too busy trying to run around, fuck everything that moved, and his wife was getting in the way. You know. Now he's gone. Now he's with the skier chick, right?
Yeah, Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn's with her, and he's still confused. He's like, I think I want to golf, but I still want to get laid. Listen, I think Tiger Woods is going to be one of these guys that are going to, he's going to keep just, he's, again, it's golf. You know, it's not like you're playing football. This guy could play golf until he's 60.
Right. Well, we'll see.
You know, but as for the other guy, anybody who blows a lead, you get the Razzie, okay?
Absolutely. That's my whole thing, is that Rory had, you know, Rory's supposed to be the young top guy now. You have a four-shot lead with six to play, and you blow that. Are you kidding me? To two guys that, you know, you ever heard of, like, Henley and these guys? Come on.
Yeah. So blowing a lead is the worst thing in the world, okay? It's like the tortoise and the hare. What kid has not heard the tortoise and the hare story, okay? There's no reason the tortoise should ever beat the hare, okay? But the hare, that's just stupid, you all right? You got to, if you can, yeah. It's like when you run from Jason in a scary movie. Who the hell would ever get caught, you know, by the guy who's blumber, you know, you don't run and trip, right? I would just walk briskly, just a little fast-paced walk, perhaps, you know, looking like that, looking like you're looking for a John, you know. Hey, what's the matter? You got to take a shit? No, there's a monster behind me. Oh, okay. Don't worry. He doesn't move that fast. These are the things, you know. But if you blow a lead, you screw up, you drop the ball, this is the things that you don't, you know, in professional sports, you don't want to see this. Now, in sports, I don't know if you saw this as well. I know you're not a soccer fan, but in the English Premier League.
I am a soccer fan. Okay. Dude, I'm a huge Liverpool fan.
Okay. Well,
you're talking about Purdue?
I'm talking about the coach who went to headbutt one of the players.
Yeah, the headbutt.
Yeah. Now, if many people, Saturday is my viewing. Saturday, my wife goes to work. I wake up and I watch English Premier League in the morning on NBC Sports.
What's your team?
Manchester United, Red Devil fan for many, many years, ever since Georgie Best back in the days.
Oh, that's got to suck for you this year, huh?
Yeah, it's been a rough year, and we're all trying to stay behind.
You guys aren't even going to make the champions, so you'll be lucky to make the Europa.
I know, it's really bad. Yeah, David Morse, yeah, because we lost to Olympiakos, I think it was, in the UEFA.
Well, here's the thing with Moyes, dude. Here's the thing with Moyes. First of all, is that, and you guys have had some significant injuries and haven't really had the full lineup going the whole time.
That's
but
true.
He took, you know, listen, there's one thing, you know, the way he coached at Everton was great because he didn't have the talent. But when you have the talent of Man U, I mean, listen, just realize this is the exact same team that blew away the Premier League last year. Everyone came back. And he has a much more conservative approach than Sir Alex did, and he's got to open it up when you have this much talent.
Yeah.
You can't coach Man U like you're coaching the talent at Everton.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you have to, yeah, you're going to get killed.
Defensively, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, Rooney was out for a while, mm-hmm. you know, and of course,
Van Persie
was out, two of the greatest scorers in the EPL right there.
And not only were they out, but because they were out at different times, the two of them really haven't been able to develop their game together.
And if you don't follow the game of soccer, when you have two strikers, or like even if it's a offensive midfielder and a striker, that's like a quarterback and a wide receiver. You know, these people have
a Liverpool fan, bro. Suarez and Sturridge.
Hey, did you ever see, was it a year or so ago when Suarez took a bite out of somebody? He Tysoned mm-hmm. somebody?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, remember that? I mean, he got a lot of heat from that, but it was like in the middle. He's like,
he got suspended for like 10 games.
Yeah, he bit the guy.
He missed the first part of the season this year on that suspension.
Wow. So let's go back to the Stoke City, right? Was it Stoke City coach? I think it was Stoke.
No, it was the Newcastle United coach.
Oh, that's right, against Stoke City, right? Weren't they playing Stoke or somebody?
No. Stoke upset Arsenal.
Oh, that's right.
It was Newcastle. They beat. They won 3-1. It was against. Who the hell wears the orange and black stripes?
I thought that was Stoke City.
I forgot. No, I don't know. But yeah, all right.
So here's what happens. The player kind of goes flying off the field a little bit. The coach is there. Now instead of like putting his arms up, the player kind of gives a little bit of a straight arm to the coach. Right,
he gave him
a little shove kind of thing, and the coach went, "Hey!" And the coach relaxed, going back to his youthful days, which the English love. They love the headbutt. The English mm-hmm. love the head. And if those soccer fans don't remember, in the World Cup,
the dude from France,
yeah, the guy
Zidane,
Zidane headbutted that dude. I think it was on Holland, wasn't it? I think they were playing Holland.
Yeah, that was a head to the chest. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a huge. That you're right. He
laid him out.
He Transformer headbutted him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was like a bull. Yeah, it was awesome.
That was like a Pacific Rim headbutt.
Yeah.
It was devastating. So, but the coach he didn't commit to the headbutt. He just kind of gave him a little like more. It was more like a faint headbutt. You know what I mean?
It was more like an aggressive lean in with the head, with the head. Yeah,
exactly. It was almost like an urban like leaning into the shoulder, like a street fight where you just mm-hmm. kind of bump somebody in the shoulder, you know. And the funny part was after that's what I love about the English Premier League. They go right to the coach after. He says, "Well, you know, it wasn't a good uh-huh. It wasn't smart to me. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. Right. I do apologize. I lost my head. You know, these guys. You know, it's not like, you know, mind your own business. You know, but the guy, you know." But I thought it was good, you know, the other coach. And the other coach, the other coach of the other team was coming over like, "Hey, man, you get back on my player?" So.
Yeah, no, listen, dude, that was all on the coach was in the wrong, in my opinion. First off, in the English Premier League, sit your ass in a chair, bro.
Those are nice chairs they have.
You were up 3-1. There was no reason for you to be standing on the sideline. And B, if you're standing on the sideline, you better stay inside the coach's box, which he was out of.
Right. Yeah.
He was very close to the sideline.
And if you don't,
and then here's the other thing: he was fined $170,000.
That's a lot of money.
So that's a pretty impressive. That's a pretty impressive, and that's U.S. dollars. So it was 100,000 pounds,
right?
Which is like 167 grand. So that's a pretty stiff.
Yeah, it is a big fine.
That's a pretty stiff fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt the other day. It's $119. So I guess I got off a little better.
What did they pull you over for? They pulled you over for that?
No, it's called the Click It or Ticket campaign. And these guys and these motorcycle cops, you know, and the guy kind of, I keep seeing him drive behind me. I was like, anyway, I thought he was just going to pass me. And then as he's coming by me, I go, oh, shit, he's going to look, I bet. And sure enough, as soon as he got up next to me, he was like kind of looking at my car. And I'm like, I was trying to hide my right shoulder. I was trying to lean forward with my right shoulder a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and he got behind me and got whoop, whoop. I'm like, God dang it. But I just got
I thought that was a secondary violation. They couldn't pull you over.
Click it. And,
something else.
Listen, me too. But then he gave me, and then I'm thinking, okay, it's a seatbelt ticket. You know, it's like if you get registration tickets, like $50 or something. All right.
Mm-hmm.
$119. Well, there you have it. Our first sports segment with Toast. Toast the sports guy.
There you go, man. Toast the sports. Segment one down.
Toast and sports.
Very good times.
There you go. And, stay tuned for next week, because I'm sure we're going to have Toast reach out there for what's happening in sports. And, you know, because that's what we need. Let's just get a roundup once a week of really what was the biggest stories in sports.
There you go. We'll recap it all for you.
Well, there you go. Well, there you have it. Again, I want to thank Toast for joining us with our new segment, Toast and Sports. We could be here every once a week. And, by the way, speaking of our weekly segments, be sure to stick around for Unusual News with Jeffrey Gurian when we come back right after this break.
Come hungry to the next Riverside Theater Comedy Zone experience, featuring the talent of nationally recognized comedians, local musicians, grilled specialties by Big Rex Processing, and the best of ice cream and chocolate confections by Kilwins.
You don't understand me!
And of course, enjoy your favorite beverages at the full bar, including our traditional $2 domestic beers.
Here's the weirdest thing, though. You ever go in to pick up your food in 9 minutes? Not ready. Seriously, you can walk in, see a bag of food with your name on it behind the counter, like, oh, is that my food? Is my food really? Oh, not your food. Full of
the Comedy Zone Experience at Riverside Theater. Don't miss it, and come hungry.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And it's time for Unusual News with Jeffrey Gurian. Brought to you by GNN, the Gurian News Network. Bringing you all the news that's fit to dance to. And now, here's Dougie Almeida and Jeffrey Gurian. What's up,
Jeffrey? What's up, Dougie?
Oh, my God, man. This has been heck crazy. You know, I'm a guy who I like structure. You know, I'm a professional. You know, there's certain things in my life I'm pretty coordinated. I like to do that. But it does become a little difficult. I imagine you can understand this as well, doing so many different things and so many different projects at once.
Oh, my God. Today, for example, I'm like racing. I just got off the air on Sirius XM with Ron and Fez, and I taped a promo. So that's why I was like, hey, what's up, Dougie? Because my energy's up. That's how you got to do the promo. You know, I brought on Rachel Feinstein today. And I know her for so long, and I'm calling her Rachel Feinstein the whole time. And at the end, after every show, I shoot a little video promo with the guest.
Right.
And then she tells me, you know, it's Feinstein. And I'm like, oh, I feel like such a moron. I'm calling her that the whole show. I hate to mispronounce somebody's name. And it's funny because they were calling her Feinstein, and I was thinking, oh, they're saying it wrong. I wonder if it bothers her. I'm glad I didn't correct them on the air and make myself look like a total moron.
Well, but, actually, you could have spun it like, oh, I was just joking.
We had a great time. She's got a new show with Shaquille O'Neal, you know, called Upload with Shaq, Upload with Shaquille O'Neal on True TV. And her and Godfrey, you know, the Nigerian comic,
right,
who's hysterical and a friend, they go on and they talk about crazy YouTube clips, and they do funny shit about it. You know, they just play the clip and then they give their take on it. And I saw one where they were wondering why Shaq was so funny, and then he opened his jacket, and in his pocket was Kevin Hart. he was in his jacket pocket, whispering jokes to him. And then when they thought they caught him, you know, they said, "Who is that in your pocket there?" And he made believe he was coughing and pounded his chest with his fist and accidentally crushed Kevin Hart.
Oh, poor Kevin.
In his pocket.
That's hilarious.
It was very funny. Very funny.
That is funny.
So so from there, I had to run home, do your show. Then I'm running to a TV taping tonight. I have to be there like at 6. So at some point, I may just hang up and run away. I don't know, because I have to run over to that studio, and I can't drive because I'm in Manhattan and traffic is insane, so I have to actually take public transportation, which who knows how long that could take. So it's been one of those crazy days, but at least I'm not still in Verizon. Do you know that I spent the last week at Verizon?
You were telling me the other day that you were having this big issue. They didn't have a tech, and then they only had a level 2 tech.
They sent me all over the place. They sent me to the store while I'm on the phone with the highest level tech. They send me to the store to buy a memory card. You know that I went to a Verizon yesterday, and both of the people there did not know how to put in the memory card?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of tech, what kind of support is that?
Well, doesn't that sound how odd does that sound that tech people don't know how to put in, don't remember how to put in a memory card?
Yeah, exactly. They don't remember how to put it in. It's like finally one guy rescued me, this one nice kid, came over and spent an hour. I was in the store yesterday for over 2 hours. I got there 4, left around 6:15. Missed an appointment I had because I was screaming in the store because they connect me. I'm in a Verizon store. They tell me to call Verizon. They give me a phone, and then they both walk away. Like, I am supposed to be able to translate. In the middle of a noisy store, instead of staying to help me and stay on the phone, they give me their own phone and then walk away. And I'm trying to deal. I put it on speaker. People in the store are screaming, you know, telling each other stories. And I want to say, could you please be quiet? And then I think violence is going to ensue because you can't just ask people to be quiet, you know, in a store. You know, you'd think that they'd see you're on the phone and they're fucking screaming around you, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a very tense week. And I literally almost walked out of the store yelling at people, and then this one kid came over who was so nice, and he said, "Leah, let me try to help you with this," and he did it. And of course the memory card was in the wrong place, so the phone wasn't recognizing it. So how can I back up when the card's not in the right place? And I don't know, I'm not supposed to be a tech guy, I'm a customer.
Yeah, exactly. Huh? That's not your duty.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to know that. I don't have to know that.
Your job is to bring the money. Your job is to bring cash, have a selection in mind that they can facilitate, and then hand the money over, and the rest is up to them.
Exactly. It's supposed to be simple. And how hard should it be, really, to transfer your information from one phone to another? The same phone. It was a replacement phone, that's all. It shouldn't take a week.
No.
And it shouldn't take so many hours of your time. Right? You have to reschedule things and run. I drove up to Westchester yesterday. It's been ridiculous. So anyway...
Yeah, I've never seen you.
I was really wishing there was a camera on me, because when you're in those circumstances, you can never repeat the actual frustration that you're feeling.
Yeah, you're definitely tapping into a whole different level of energy.
It's so amazing. Yeah, it's like every single thing that can go wrong. The tech guy even apologized to me. He's giving me all these instructions, and then he's like, "You're on your old phone, aren't you?" And I'm like, why would I be on my old phone when my new phone is the one that's activated? Why would I be on my old phone?
Yeah.
And he was giving me instructions the whole time as if I had been on my old phone. And he's like, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
Ooh.
I'm like, yeah, you made a mistake, but I've been on with you for half an hour already.
Yeah, your career,
now the mistake is mine.
Yeah, your career choice, son, was your early mistake, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And it's just the level of frustration, you could go out of your mind. If you're not a sane person...
Yeah.
You could go berserk.
I think it would be great to have a video camera on you, because I could, you know, I'm knowing you as always calm, cool, you know, dealing with stuff and just in rhythm. But you know, you seem like you've been put to the ringer for the last couple of weeks.
I was losing it, and I was really wishing. I said nobody would believe this. They have to see. I actually did one with Verizon. There's a little video on my website, comedymatterstv.com.
Right.
And if you bring that up and you put in Verizon, I had one thing with them that I actually did videotape, me on the phone with them asking me the most ridiculous questions. But this took the cake. And I just, you know, it's hard to retell a story and have people really feel what you were feeling at the moment. It's very frustrating.
Sure.
You know? But it was horrible, absolutely horrible. So I'm home. We're doing this. It's cool. Everything gets done, you know. It all gets done. My assistants are here. We're working on editing a video that I need for the 6 o'clock show that I'm doing.
Now you said assistants. And you have more than one assistant.
Yeah, I have people that do my editing for me. They come and shoot. Like every time I'm on Sirius and I bring on a guest, we shoot a little post video.
Got now that,
what we talked about on the show.
That's interesting. So, like, in other words, does the show have their own crew or folks video?
Well, yeah, it's a really famous. I mean, it's the Ron and Fez show.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Legendary radio show.
Sure.
But I do my own thing. So when I come on, I bring a guest at the end of the show. Like, they play me on with, like, Jump Around is my theme music for that
right.
one. And then at the end of the thing, my guest and I sit for 5 minutes and I shoot a little wrap-up.
That's great. You know? Now, my question was, you have the camera guys from the show, and then you have your camera guys. Did the camera guys ever go, hey, man, you know, a little bit of feud in between the camera guys?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Because theirs is a radio show, and they do show videos. They show a lot of my videos, I guess, on, you know, on computer, you know, on the internet. But they don't mind at all. I shoot my own little thing, and I put it up, you know, on my channel. It's a little thank you, and I like having a record of the people I brought on. Last week we did a great one with Artie Lang, and Rachel Feinstein today was so funny. She gave me the longest promo that anyone has ever done in the history of the comedy world.
How nice.
Since cavemen told jokes.
Yeah.
It was very funny, very sweet. She's hysterical. She's going to be at the Stand tonight. I'm going to go down and see her. And she's got a new special that she's taping for Comedy Central on March 26th in Boston.
Nice.
She's heading up there. It's her second half-hour comedy special.
Now, wasn't she doing something else, Rachel Feinstein, Feinstein, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't she doing, she was doing something. Wasn't she on a TV show or on one of the cable channels?
She's doing a lot. Well, like I said, she's got this new thing with Shaquille O'Neal on True TV.
Well, okay, yeah.
I don't know if that's what you were thinking of. And she's on TV a lot. I think she's on Amy Schumer. She's blowing up. She's doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's good to see the women in comedy. You know what I mean? Breaking.
Oh, she looks great too. She's changed a lot of the image. You know, years ago, women comics tried to downplay their look.
Right.
You know, in the early days, you know, Phyllis Diller would always you know, make fun of herself, and Joan Rivers, and you know, Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett. They were all very attractive women that made themselves look unattractive for their comedy. Because I think that was the concept in those
sure.
days, that you couldn't look pretty and still be funny.
Yeah, it was a challenge.
Like, girls these days are changing that.
Yeah, you know? They say that. I think that's really true. Like, I think it's probably more true for men than it is women. Yeah, you know, I think women can
what,
be.
About
I think,
men trying to look pretty?
Well, you know, I think if a guy's really good looking, it'll be. I think that's a lot harder for a guy to be really good looking and funny than it is for a woman to be very good looking and funny.
Yeah, well, it's hard for both. People don't like to laugh at good-looking people. It's not believable.
Yeah, you want to like them. You want to.
They can't
them.
Talk about how hard it is to get a date, or you know, it's like going on stage and telling people how rich you are. Only London Lee did that many years ago. Do you remember that name, London Lee, the
rich kid? I've worked with London Lee several times. And
oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
so
down
he was you know a big star then. And
sure.
He talked about how rich he was, and it was funny. These days, you know. They were talking on the air today that Ellen DeGeneres got a lot of hate mail from the LGBT group.
Oh, really? Because we were talking about that, how a lot of comics, some people were dissing her, some people thought she did great. I mean, how did you feel she did hosting the Oscars?
I thought she did I thought she was great. She was fun and relaxed, brought in pizza for people, you know?
Exactly.
She did the kind of stuff that I'd like to do, you know, just like very relaxed, very, you know, like it was nothing. Like it was just another show. And I thought it was very cool. But they were offended when she said something to Liza Minnelli about that she was a man dressed as Liza Minnelli or something like that. that the transgender community, I think, was offended.
Really?
Everybody's offended by something these days.
Well, I mean,
if anybody was going to be offended, I would think it would be Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, that would be the only person who could have been offended by being referred to as a transgender. But if she looks in the mirror, I guess she could see everybody's point. You know, I thought it was kind of funny when they took the selfie and she was way in the back and nobody could see her. You know,
who was way in the back? Ellen?
No. When they took that photo, which blew up on Twitter, that there was a photo shot from behind, and Liza was in the back, like, and everybody was standing so tall that she was, you know.
Oh, I didn't realize that Liza was in that. I thought she went up to. Who was the first person she asked to take the shot with her? Was it Liza?
No, I think it was Meryl Streep was one of the first people.
Meryl Streep was the one. Yeah, that's who. And so was Liza sitting behind her?
Well, yeah, she's like two or three rows behind. So in one of the photos they took of that photo from behind, like the backward view, Liza's like has her arm up there. She's like trying to get in the photo, but she's basically amongst a bunch of people. You know, she was not.
Yeah, look who else was in the photo. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Like every major star jumped into the photo. What a photo that was.
I know. That was amazing. And everybody's photoshopping their own photo into that. Like it was funny. Now, the thing that, now again, I have some comic friends that didn't like, thought that what she did was kind of, about the pizza and stuff. I thought it was interesting watching Brad Pitt walk around with paper plates and handing out paper plates. And like Lenny was joking around on the show earlier that didn't she almost get married to Julia Roberts? Weren't they together or something like that? And that might
I think so, a long time ago.
That might have been an awkward situation when Brad walks up and offers her a piece of pizza. She's like, oh, now you want to give me something? You know, I mean.
Now you want to put something in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but to me, that moment, and again, how hard it must be to be the host of the Oscars. You know, I mean, look how stressful it is. John Travolta screws up that poor woman's name. You know?
Oh, I didn't even take notice of that. I don't know if I stepped out of the room or I didn't even notice, but I heard he screwed up her name. Idina Menzel.
Right.
He called her some, like, weird name.
Yeah, Menziel. I mean, it was like, you know, and I think his brain, I think the glue from his toupee was affecting his mind because he just had this look on his face like either he had to use the restroom or he had just used the restroom and was trying to be discreet about it.
You know, when you get that famous, I don't know, they're all strange.
Yeah.
People are strange. When you get to that level of success, and then he's been through so much trauma, you know, losing his son and all. I think it really takes a toll on people. It's very hard to recover from things like that. Even that level of fame must be so hard for people to endure that wherever you go, you're in the public eye. There's nothing private. There's, you know. It's something that most people could not even imagine.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people get upset about that. Like, if people don't want to be, they complain about that and this and that. I'm like, you know, but a lot of these people have been famous all their life. You know,
everybody thinks that's such a goal, like to be so famous, and it's probably amazing in a lot of ways. But I could see where it would be very stressful as well.
Yeah, I mean, about it. You couldn't walk out in the street without being accosted, everybody asking for this and that from you. It must be difficult, you know, when you walk, anything like that. You obviously...
You have to go out in disguise. You know, speaking of disguise, did you read about that Oscar Pistorius was going out in disguise? That's not unusual news. That's serious. I read that. Oscar Pistorius, the guy with no legs who killed his girlfriend, Reva Steenbergen.
Allegedly killed.
You know, who allegedly killed his girlfriend,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they said he's been going out in disguise.
You mean while he's been in prison or while he's been out on bail for
the
trial?
He's not in prison. He's been out on bail. He's out on bail. I think they just started the trial, but they said that he goes out in public in disguise.
Yeah.
That's just a funny concept. How do you disguise that?
How do you disguise a guy that's walking around with two blades?
Blades, yeah. What does he put on a beard and then he expects no one's going to know who he is?
Yeah, Oscar Pistorius is
going... A beard and a small hat.
Yeah,
right?
he's going out in public as a lawnmower.
and no one notices.
Yeah. Hey, what's that lawnmower doing getting on the bus?
And it brings a gardener with him to walk next to him. So that's the disguise.
Hey, look here, mate. You got to help me out, yay? Okay, good. We're going to get in the car. I'm going to dress like a lawnmower.
It's crazy. I read that. I couldn't believe it. How's he going to disguise himself? What's he going to?
Well,
false whiskers.
It's amazing. I don't know if you followed that story, but it was amazing, right? Here's a guy that on Valentine's Day night supposedly awakens, fearful that there's somebody breaking into his house, stealing something in the bathroom, because we all know that all the good jewelry is in the bathroom.
Go right to the bathroom.
Yeah.
As soon as they get into your house, that's their first stop is the bathroom.
Hold on a second, mate. Before we rob this place, I've got to drop a deuce. I forgot to go. I told you to go before we're robbing. Before we go robbing, you've got to use the restroom.
Because the person whose house you're robbing might not have a restroom that you can use. Yeah. And you don't want to be rude during a robbery.
Yeah. Hey, do you mind telling me where you got the pine sol? You loo's a bit dirty. I'm not going to put my bum on that loo.
Nice accent.
Yeah.
Very nice. A little bit
of accent.
Listen, we got to do unusual news because I got to run and do this thing. So I got a story for you today.
You do have one. I'm excited because I didn't know if we're going to do
one. I got an unusual story. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's do it.
The title is Busiclander Discovered in Blarney Castle.
A what?
Now, a Busiclander. It's an ancient Celtic musical instrument called the Busiclander. You know, it's like music, but with a B, Busiclander. You're not familiar with it?
I've never heard of a Busiclander.
It's the world's only two-man instrument. For many years, people thought it was as imaginary as the unicorn, but they actually found it behind a secret door in the basement of Blarney Castle, the most visited tourist attraction in Ireland. And I never knew that. You know, when people say that's a lot of Blarney,
right?
That's where it comes from, the Blarney Castle. Now, the Busiclander was the first and last two-man instrument in history.
It does sound complicated, the Busiclander. It does seem like it'd be something that... Like
you
a
need two
like,
men to play it. It's like a cross between the bagpipes and a bassoon.
Hmm.
And for some reason, you have to play it while sitting in a sitting position. Not standing. You have to sit on the floor.
Now, both guys are sitting?
Pardon me?
Both guys are sitting with the Busiclander?
Both guys are sitting with the Busiclander while an assistant simultaneously hums along with the music. That seems to be part of it. There's an element of humming.
Well, I'm getting a little nervous. We're talking about two guys sitting together playing instruments, and there's humming involved?
And there's humming involved, right. And they kind of rock back and forth. Very ancient instrument, the Busiclander. They thought it didn't really exist, and now they found one. Hmm. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Next thing you know, people will be signing up for Busiclander lessons.
Next thing you know, there's going to be Busiclanders in the NFL.
But it's a hard... I mean... I've always been fascinated personally by the Busiclander because I didn't really think it existed. I had heard of it. I researched it.
I could see that'd be a problem as an instrument, though, because you'd have to have really understanding friends that would want to share your interest of playing the Busiclander.
Well, you have to have a friend who will play with you, you know, who will say, you know, would you like to play the Busiclander with me?
Yeah.
Because it's a two-man instrument.
And after they give you that funny look... And they say, no.
Yeah, I mean, so it's that kind of thing, and then you have to decide what song to play. What if you want to play a particular song, and the guy you're playing with wants to play a different song? So fights could break out.
Yeah.
It could be a dangerous instrument to play.
That's right. And I imagine if there's a little anger between the two guys playing the Busiclander, it's going to be tragic music that's going to be displayed.
Probably. And one fact that I left out, one guy has to wear what looks like a rubber band around his head. It goes like around the forehead, like a band, but it's thin, like a rubber band. You have to stretch it over the person's head.
Now, what's the purpose of the rubber band on the forehead?
No one knows. It seems to build up pressure in the person's head.
Does it seem to be something like, you know, you want to make sure you're playing a safe Busiclander?
Probably. It may have something to do with that. I don't think anyone's ever figured that out, what that is, but it came with it. And there were pictures, ancient pictures of people playing the Busiclander. And one guy, it's always depicted as one guy with a rubber band stretched around his head.
Yeah, I think because he has to, when he's done playing it, he's got to smack himself in the forehead to be sure he believes what he just did.
Maybe it held a feather at one time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you never know what the purpose of it is. But anyway, that's unusual news for today.
The Busiclander. Unbelievable. You know, hey guys, if you're out there and one of your friends says, hey, you want to play the Busiclander with me, just be sure that you use protection. But that's the unusual news as we've had it today here on the Wake Up Play with Dougie show.
check it all out on Gurian News Network. You know, it's all on my site at comedymatterstv.com, and look at Gurian News Network, and you'll see all the news that's fit to dance to.
There you go. As always, my friend Jeffrey, great show. Thanks for being here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Always fun to be on with you, Dougie.
Awesome.
Always good, man.
And check out comedymatterstv.com and Jeffrey Gurian on Twitter. Follow Jeffrey Gurian on Twitter. Follow the radio show.
At Jeffrey Gurian.
At Jeffrey Gurian. And, of course, follow us at Wake Up Dougie and me at Dougie Dangerous. That's all we have time for today. Thanks again, guys, for listening. And be sure to check us out. Remember, no show on Friday this week. I'm going to be up in West Virginia at Comedy Zone. So we'll be back next week with all new shows. Take care, and, well, we'll be back. How's that?